waiting only for that which is to come. We praise thee, Lord, for it. Now we believe, Lord, you'll instruct us tonight. You'll help us in utterance and application of wisdom from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, thinking tonight, so many songs sung strictly from the scripture. You know, that was the old way they used to do it before people got poetic. And they began making up nice songs, which are fine. But I understand that originally they used to just sing the word. Now, we're talking tonight, singing tonight about fearing the names. It says in Isaiah, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. You know, Israel never did really know the name. That is to the revelation and the application of it. Oh, sure, they knew the name, but see, we have the name. It's in the west that the name is. In the east was the glory. That's where the glory first came from, also the light. But glory usually refers to the splendor and the majesty, especially centered around Israel as a great nation. But it says, at this time, when this is known, the enemy shall come like a flood. Spirit of the Lord will raise up the standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Unto them that turn from transgression to Jacob, saith the Lord. Then it says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that's upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth forever. So, when the light shines in the west, the name is known. The glory of the Lord proves that's the same one of the east. That's the time that the Redeemer is going to come back. And that's the time millennium sets in. So we're, every place you look, there's no way that doesn't tell us that this is that hour. And if the seventh seal was hardly a half an hour, not much time left. Not much time left at all. I want to read you something. I picked up an excerpt from Oswald Smith. I mean, Oswald Chambers said, for 30 years, Jesus did nothing. Then for 3 years, he stormed every time he went down to Jerusalem. Josephus says he tore through the temple courts like a madman. We hear nothing about that Jesus Christ today. The meek and mild being pictured today makes us lose altogether the meaning of the cross. We have to find out why Jesus was beside himself with rage and indignation at the Pharisees, and not over those given to carnal sins. Which state of society is going to stand a ripping and tearing being like Jesus Christ, who drags to the ground the highest respected pillars of a civilized society, and shows that their respectability is built on a much more abominable pride than the harlots Republicans? The latter are disgusting, but these men have the very pride of the devil in their hearts. The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. If we put our trust in men, we shall go under. Because men are just like ourselves, and none of us in our wits before God that ever think of trusting ourselves. If we do, it is a sign we're ignorant of ourselves. Pretty good, eh? You know, I never did think too much of Oswald Smith, Chambers. I guess I must have had his one book, My Utmost for His Highest, and it's a kind of devotion. And it didn't come across too good to me. I thought others were better. I never did get into his writings. That's interesting. Very good. Now, we want to continue tonight, laying pretty well the last groundwork for Sunday, when we go into the judges relative to the bride. And so we're into number 5D, why he is present, the judge. And we'll read in John 5, we'll read a lot. One thing, if you read a lot of scripture, then you can go home saying, well, at least you heard the scripture. You sang it and you heard it read. We'll start with verse 19 and we'll read continuously to about the end of the chapter. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Well, of course, that's perfectly obvious if it's the Father in him doing them. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now that, you know, I tell you what, really, all I got to do is ask anybody here, what do you expect is going to come out of that statement? And I'll bet you 10-1 you're wrong. Because I would do the same thing. They're all great splash, great this, great that, great other thing. And yet he said, no sign given to this generation save the sign of Jonas. As he was Jesus, Jonas 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. So what kind of a sign is that? Fact. You know, don't let the devil trick you. As he has been so good at tricking you in the past. When the enemy comes in like a flood, a standard of revelation has been raised up to help us. You know, that you may marvel. Now let's be honest. Do you marvel at the raising of the dead, or do you marvel at the revealed word wherein you stand in grace? Now, if you marvel at the dead being raised, you've been whitewashed, brainwashed. Not whitewashed, but I said brainwashed by the charismatics. And we're going to have to, you know, nicely bat some heads to get all this old charismatic brain out. And come back to God, who is the Word, right? Oh, I don't think I'll get to preach tonight except for 2.5 hours. No, just take it easy. All right. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment of the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as he honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which has sent him. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so is he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing, as I hear I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of my Father sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bear witness of me, and I know the witness which witnesses me is true. You sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth, but I received not the testimony from man. But these things I say, that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you are willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father gave me to finish. The same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father sent me. And the Father himself which has sent me has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, or seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him to be not. Notice how he put those two together. You see, they sound like, just two unrelated statements. He said here, the Father himself, which has sent me, bore witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, or seen his shape. And he said, you have not his word abiding in you. You can only see him in the word. As he himself said in verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are there to testify me, and if you don't see him there, forget it. Especially today, because God has so granted his power to be used by his enemy, that the false anointed, can produce what the charismatic or the charismatic inclined believer, true Christian, might produce. And even more so, but they can't produce the word. Now I receive, you'll not come unto me that you might have life. Now he makes it very hard for them to come. Well, first of all, you come to my house and I go to your house, maybe however you do it, I can go to your house and I can just tell you, you're the rottenest cook under high heaven. Your food is going to, it smells like swill and tastes like swill. Well, now I'm going to tell you what, when once you hit a guy like that, you don't expect that person to come and eat dinner at your place, do you? Well, that's what Jesus did. He hit them both bold barrels. He said, you know, you act like a bunch of hogs. There's no word in you. You're a complete mess. And then he said, what does he say here? He said, and you'll not come to me. You might receive life. Well, he said, why should I come? See, that's what got him to hop and mad. He insulted the whole bunch of them. You know, people don't like to be insulted. The old saying, you get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, is certainly true. But who wants flies? They can both drown either honey or vinegar. See what I mean? Look, he insults them. He said, I receive not honor from men. Now, that'll clear the picture, but it doesn't. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. You know, look at the insults, the barbed insults. I'm coming in my Father's name, you receive me not. If another should come in his own name, him you will receive. There isn't a thing in the other that's not full of insult. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Now, they should have known back in Moses, it happened to Moses by him glorifying himself. But they, you know, see, you get a person mad, he can't think. That's right. You get him raging. And he may even have a gun pulled on you. Pat Tyler tells the time the man got the drop on him. He said he was a fool. Pat's dead now, of course. Pat taught the FBI how to shoot. He could palm dice and change cars faster than any man living. In fact, he owned an airplane to get from place to place to just find these big tables, and he'd go and take all the money. And this one guy hated him. And like a fool, he didn't get a drop on him. And the guy had the gun cocked ready to kill him. And he baited him. He just snarled and baited him, got him so raging mad. When the eye flickered, he hauled and hit him, knocked across the room, saved his life. You get a man mad, he may kill you, but 10-1, he won't. He'll try to kill you any other way, but they rage, they lose their sense of balance and all. Look what he did. He deliberately goaded them. Verse 45, do you not think I'll accuse you to the Father? There is one that accuses you, the Moses, in whom you trust. Brother Bannon organization. He was popular as a skunk at a garden party. So was Jesus. Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But the Bible wrote of William Branham. Elijah. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? If you've got no faith in the prophet, there's no such thing as a prophet, right? Okay. Except for the lineation, which we should have just not done, but just read the scripture. There are various precise and illuminating pronouncements made in these verses, which deal primarily with the subject that we have on hand. Number one, who is judge? Number two, why he is judge? And number three, the time that he is judge. Now, John 5:22, beg your pardon. And the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. John 5:22 categorically and unequivocally states that God has given into the hands of the Son the processes for the pronouncements of verdicts, which are either for or against anyone, so that the verdict is exoneration or guilt, with the disposition of the purchase of the person subject to the judge. And not only so, but this authority is such that in a case of an attempted accusation, the accused cannot even be brought into court when the judge believes or declares there is no possibility of establishing guilt or any association with guilt, for the question is already handled by precedence, and the decision is that there is no grounds to proceed. So, that's what we're looking at here. When you speak of judgment, you're thinking in terms of verdicts, disposition of what the verdict is, more or less the disposition of the person according to the verdict. And also, the judge is the one that has the authority to even refuse to hear a case. Now, this definition is founded upon the words all judgment, because that's what it says, all judgment is committed unto the Son, which would not only set forth all kinds of judgments, as to their number, any amount, any number, and their intent, but would obviously refer to all decisions in any and all cases, with the right to deny certain attempts at arraignment or prosecution. Now, if he's got this, as he said, all judgment, then this would include all numbers, all types, take care of all decisions, and give the right to deny arraignment or attempts that arraignment. Now, that our definition is correct is further seen in John 5:24. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Now you'll note the very words, shall not come into judgment. For it shows no possibility of the need for a decision because the person is passed from death to life and such a person is incapable of being tried because he is beyond any other word than the word that is now placed with him and under him. Now, I want you to catch what I said. We started out by telling you that all judgments show that it is not limited to numbers. It includes universally all numbers, is not limited. The decisions and the disposition of the person or person is included. And with it, the understanding that if the judge has no precedent, there is no case. Now, that was in John 5:22. All is committed. So that the complete spectrum is before us. Wherever there is a necessity, or in the minds of men, no necessity, but that which would be grounds for a trial. And in verse 24, it says, there are those who will not ever come into the judgment. It shows that there is no possibility of the need for a decision concerning these people. For they have passed from death unto life. And such persons are incapable of being tried because they are beyond any other word. See? Than the word which he has now placed with and under. In other words, it is like a jurisdiction. So as that one particular judge could in no way attempt, or if he did attempt, his efforts would be nullified to take jurisdiction over this or these persons. See? Just like you can't try a person under an arson charge when he's held up the bank. He robbed it. He didn't burn it. So, there's no way and no necessity for a decision, a verdict. So that pretty well takes in all judgment. There's just one escape route. And that is, he that heareth my word, and now a word and a disposition which is inviolate cannot be violated by anybody under any consideration because he is in another situation, another jurisdiction. So everybody but those will be in a judgment. Number two, we saw who is judged. Next, we see this awesome authority of wisdom and power in totality is given to him because of John 5:27. The Son hath unto his been committed all judgment. Why? And hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man, the authority to pronounce and to cause to be executed all judgment because He is the Son of Man. This places him in the position of verdict and disposition because of this peculiar title and what lies in it intrinsically, so that all judgment is passed on to him. There is no other reason, and can be no other reason, where this is exactly what it says. Now, someone might look around and might think, well, there should be another reason here, but that's not so. This is the reason. See? The Son is judge because he is the Son of Man. The question arises, what authority lies in the Son of Man to give him such sovereign power of adjudicating and thereby disposing universally? In other words, it's an unlimited, so that nobody can stop him. He's got absolute authority. And he'll do it because it's committed to him on the ground that he is the Son of Man. Remember way back in Matthew, Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, thou art Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus confirmed it. He said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And he reconfirms it in John 5:39-47. "Search the Scriptures. Friend, then you think you have eternal life, and there they which testify of me. And you'll not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men." You got it from God. "But I know you, you have not the love of God in you. I come in my Father's name, you receive me not. Another shall come in his own name, him you receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another? Seek not the honor that cometh from God only." How could you get a proper court decision with everybody seeking each other's honor? Scratching each other's back, pulling every cotton pick and rotten deed in the book. "Do not think I will accuse you to the Father." Now watch that. "There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Now, John 5:39-47 is Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning at verse 15, I believe. So let's go back. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken, according to all thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which is spoken. I will raise him up a prophet among your brethren, like unto thee, and I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. It'll come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Right? Okay. John 5, which we're looking at. "Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Now he's saying you got to believe the God that said that someone was coming and you'd hear his words. And if you didn't, the words would be required of you. If you did hear, then there would be a requirement of the words. The word would superimpose a jurisdiction over which there was no other jurisdiction. You follow us in? You really follow them in? Hasn't got a thing to do with any action or anything anybody ever did. It's a faith precept. Puts them in a place where whatever is spoken can never be required as a verdict of condemnation. Do you realize what he's saying over here? I'll raise up a problem among your brethren, like a thief, put my words in his mouth, and he'll speak unto them all, I shall command him. It'll come to pass that whoever will hearken to my words will be free. Well, that's what he's saying. Over here is a negative, over here is a positive. It's the same thing. Hath everlasting life shall not grant the judgment of passing and death on the life. In other words, no requirements other than listening. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which is a revelation. Now, notice, he never wavers from Luke 4. Verse 16, he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. His custom was when the synagogue and the Sabbath day and supper eat. Delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book, found the place written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor, send me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recover sight to the blind, stir them their bruised, and to preach or proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Never deviated. Closed the book, gave the minister, sat down. Then he began to speak. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bearing witness. You know, I wish that they had somehow had enough of their record to put at least 50% of his sermon in on these verses. I'd love to hear Jesus preach a sermon. It's a pity that he didn't take this one. Now, he did preach other sermons, but I wish he'd have preached this one. Of course, he didn't ask me. And I guess I got no problem there. All right, he never wavers from Luke 4:16 to about 21. He is Hebrews 1:1-3. God, in many parts and many ways, spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, or the ages, the dispensations and those things, who being the brightness of his glory, the express copy of his person. Well, God's a person. So he had to be copied into flesh so man could understand something. I'm holding all things by the word of his power. God hasn't got two sets of words. He's got one word. And he upholds it. And he said, he that listens to the one the Father sends, coming in his name and the ones that I send, hearing that word shall never come into judgment. Everybody else does. Let's go back to John 1. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, without him was not anything made that was made. Him was life, life was the light of men. And so on. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Where did they get all the grace and truth from? When he went down there to Jerusalem every time, the synagogue like a bull in the china shop. Just about tore the doors off, threw out the money changers, threw out the offering of sacrifices. Went into homes and shut them up. Defied them face to face. Made the religion look like a two-bit phony thing. Where was the grace and truth? The Word. Yeah, of eternal life. That's where it was. Now, he is that one here. Logos. He is the Word. He was the great prophet. He was the one to come. We go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. 12:13. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, even of joints and marrows, even as the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Gets right down where the soul is, see? In there. In other words, nothing missed. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now it tells you he's the prophet. Now it tells you he is the Word. The great discerning Word. He is Revelation 22:16-19. I, Jesus, sent my name to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. Now, A thirst for what? Word. Nobody wants word in this hour. They want the charismatic. Whosoever let him take of the water of life freely. Right testament every man that hears the words of prophecy's book. If any man add, God will add him the plagues that are written therein. In other words, at the time of the revelation of this book, plagues will follow. At the time of the revelation of this book, any man take away from the revelation of this hour, God will take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, the things written in this book. Now, that tells you about him being qualified because he is the Son of Man to be that judge. Now, since he is John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, beheld his glory, beauty, heard his word, and also how that he is the one who by words led forth and also revealed God. He was that one who was to come. By virtue of that, he must be Acts 17 and 31. Okay. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world, that's the inhabited world, in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he'd given assurance unto all, and he had raised him from the dead. Now, you can see right here that because that he is the prophet, the Son of Man, and as we showed you before, how he was part of that human race, and therefore would have the ability to positively deal with both God and man in that particular area, he would now be a tremendous judge. Now, to elaborate more fully, we go on. He, Jesus, was not that prophet just by virtue of birth. To be a man is not axiomatically or automatically to be a prophet. It is Hebrews 1, 1-2. Now I'm going to explain what I said. Now, he's called the Son of Man. He's a man. But being a man is not, does not give you axiomatically the privilege or the right to be a prophet. God in many parts and many ways spake in times past of the fathers in the prophets. Hath the last day spoken unto us in the Son. Back in John 1, 1-3. Go over it again. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things made, but without anything was not anything made that was made. It was life, and life was light of men, and so on. And then that 14th verse, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten the Father. Now, with that we go to Exodus 4 and 16. And He shall be thy spokesman of the people. And He shall be, even He shall be to thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of God, or in lieu of God. Now you'll notice that what we saw in previous verses to this was that there was a hookup with God. There was a special interrelationship with God. God was in the prophets in parts and ways over a period of time. Then God was in the man, the one man, all of him, the great Elohim, Redeemer, Jehovah, was in this one Jesus. Now you'll notice that we're getting into explanation here, that these men are in lieu of or instead of God to the people. In other words, they have a very special something about them that gives them the privilege of being in this position. See? Let's keep moving. John 10, 33-36. The Jews asked him, saying, for a good work, we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered, it is not written in your law, I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, the scripture cannot be broken. Say of him whom the Father sanctifies in the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I'm the Son of God. Now you'll notice in there that Jesus is identifying the quote in the Psalms of who are gods. And it's not simply any person, per se, because that person happens to be born. Now certainly they gotta be born. See? But being born is not the qualification. There's another qualification. The qualification would have to be, as over here in Jeremiah 1:49. And we'll try to put it together for you. I think you get what I'm talking about anyway. I mean, try to put a whole lot together. Okay, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, now watch, here's a prophet. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Another man, this man was born, specially born. That's why Jesus would be specially born. See, fall in the line of the traditional prophet. Ordination before birth. Then said I, ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. Neither is every prophet glib or smooth. Paul wasn't smooth. Moses wasn't smooth. And maybe even Jesus stuttered when he got mad. I don't suppose he did really because he was perfect. But the sparks might have flown. They did, in fact. A man is ordained in the womb. He's born a certain way. It's like Brother Branham said, the serpent had a place for soul but didn't have a soul. Jesus said to those Pharisees, there's no place in you for my word. In other words, anybody who hears the word of God and born again has got something the rest of the people don't have. You're made a certain way by predestination. He said, I can't speak. The Lord said, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all I shall send thee. Whatever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Set thee this day over nations, over kingdoms, to root out, pull down, destroy and throw down, to build the plant. You say, could one man have that power? You better believe one man has that power, and he doesn't even have to go to the nation to exercise that power, because it is God's word in the man's mouth that does it. He's specially built. He's got a special mouth. Even Brother Branham in a dream saw, although I don't think his mouth was that particularly special, in contradiction to other men's, mouth, the way the occlusion is or anything else. But it was a very special mouth on the count. No other mouth was going to get the word of God. So, this is not simply something because a person is born, he can say, well, I've got it right. Hogwash, you've got it right. I got a very nice kid I go and he gives me my good massages. He's a real sweet guy. I think the world of him. Had a son like him, I'd be terribly proud of him. Worker, he put a lot of people to shame. But he's been hooked by a bunch of stupid cultists. They got some apostle up in Canada that if you said, give me one sign you're an apostle, he'd stand there and blither like that Mormon jerk up in Canada when I was there after meeting King busting up and the sick were being healed, everybody getting help. And he said, by what authority do you do this? Well, I said, just before I answered that question, I'd like to ask something. Do you have authority to do what I'm doing? He said, yes. I said, can you do it? He said, no. And I said, what good is your authority? Oh, come on, man. I could stand right there and absolutely prove how a devil manifests himself and what he works. Absolutely show the people that anybody has a continuous rolling pain in the body has the devil. Stood right there and commanded the devil move one place to that boy's bundle and then cast it out. Who knows? Lots of dumb, wonderful things happen. And where do you get your authority from? There is in birth a thing called predestination, which is based on election, which is based upon foreknowledge. And it will come out. And a prophet is one of the most foreknown predestinated persons ever. And they're very, 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 and I just added the next 25 years and say, phew. There's literally one in hundreds of millions. In fact, I suppose that over the 6,000 years, there would have been 8 billion peoples on earth by now. 8 billion. Quite easily. You say, well, I don't know. And I say, I don't know. They're close to, they're going to 4 billion right now. You're not over yet. And the estimation of peoples on the earth before the flood, when the land masses were greater than the water masses, and they lived so many years and were very prolific. Why, good night. There could have been 8 or 10 or 22 billion for all we know how many there were there. I don't know. But you start numbering. Let's say just 8 billion people for an easy estimate. How many prophets? I mean real prophets, word prophets. The word of God in their mouths. Not many. So, you can see these people are exceptionally exceptional because they have a role that literally makes them the mouth of God. Now, God in His role as Word and Word Giver, indwelling a man, constitutes a prophet. That's why they hate him. They don't like prophets. They certainly have these goops that call themselves, apostles or something. Oh, brother. Sick is sick and weird is weird, but when you get a sick, weird person, especially religiously, you know, it's refreshing to have a prophet come by that's ordained to God. At least for once, you can tell which way the wind might be blowing.
Amen.
Instead of all this junk. So God in His role, because we're looking at roles, remember, offices, titles, and drama, God in His role as Word and Word Giver indwelling a man constitutes a prophet. God made flesh in a man, primarily a prophet. The Word and authority are of God. The voice of speech only is human. All right. Let's go to Psalms 119, 1-6 again. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and they that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise the uprightness of heart when I shall learn, have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes or forsake none of Thee. All right, here we see that the prophet gives the word. And the word is the law, statute, commandments, precepts, judgments, signifying that the prophet is the one whereby the judgments of God are in the land.
Yep.
His pronouncements are set judgments. The absolute and unadulterated power of direction and disposition lies in His word. His pronouncements are set judgments. Try to get back. They are the absolute And unadulterated is the absolute unadulterated power. He has the absolute unadulterated power of direction and disposition through that word. When it is spoken, it's got to be dealt with. It's got to come to pass. We cannot doubt that. Further, we see that not only does the word whereby we judge come by a prophet, but also the interpretation or revelation of it, so that the word is capable of taking its course amongst us. Let's go to Numbers 15 chapter. This is just a little simple one here, but I remember this, so I turned to it. I have to look up my concordance, of course. All right, 32, Numbers 15. While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done unto him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man that shall surely be put to death. All the congregations will stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, something was already written here about the do's and the don'ts on the Sabbath. And there were certain things you couldn't do. There are certain things you were permitted to do under extenuating circumstances. Now, this fellow must have needed something to cook with. I don't know whether he couldn't get out of bed the day before or something to get the fire ready and the food prepared. I don't know. All I know is there was doubt. So they brought him to Moses. And this one, who was going to be the judge, had to get an interpretation of the word. What do you think we go up to the Supreme Court for? To get what is the final interpretation. So there must be an interpretation, and here we find the judge is the revealer and thereby the interpreter of God's word. Now God was the first prophet and then he was judge. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. And of course we'll go to 2:16-17. The Lord commanded the man, saying, that every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat it. The day of eating of dying, thou dost surely die. All right, what does that mean? Well, he didn't drop over a dead. What is it all about? Let's go and find out. Now, let's not get too lean. Let's not get too stringent. Let's not get just one little idea and look at it. Let's look at the book. Third chapter. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, that's a good question. Here's a legal thing. Come on. Concerning the word. The woman said, we may eat of the tree of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat it, neither touch it, lest ye die. Now, see, the question was, is there something in here about something being said you can't eat of a special tree? Why, she said, yes, I'll point it out to you, so to speak. Can't eat of the tree of the garden. Tree. Now, don't touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said, now watch, he goes directly opposite. He ain't no prophet, this fella. God's the prophet. Now, if this fella had it in Moses, he'd gone to God. Now, he brings in his own two bits worth. He won't die. For God doth know in the day and even of that, then your eyes shall be opened, and you'll be as God's knowing good and evil. Woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant the eye, tree to desire to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof to eat and gave her husband also, and he ate. Now you read the book of Songs of Solomon, you'll see that sexual intercourse. And people think they're really smart and wise because they know how to perform the act and mess their lives up and everybody else up. The eyes of them both were open, they knew they were naked. At least thank God they got that far. They sowed fig leaves and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord. God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called Adam. He said, where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice, the garden was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, who told you you're naked? Have ye eaten of the tree where I commanded thou shalt not eat? And the man said, the woman you gave to me, and with me she gave me the tree and I did eat. The Lord God said to the woman, what is this thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed of all cattle, of every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, dust it all the days of your life. I put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He'll bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now here you're telling what this death is he's talking about. Alright? How the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire to be the husband who rule over you. She died right there. Her freedoms are gone. How the animal he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, ate of the trees I command thee, saying, you can't eat of it, curse the ground for thy sake. He died right there too. And sorry you're going to eat all the days you like. That's multiplied death. Thorns and thistles it's going to bring forth. That's more death. Thou shalt eat the herb of it, the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shall eat bread. Till you return to the ground, out of it you're taken, where dust you are and dust you art, thou shalt return. Now you can see what death is all about. Now, man does not have eternal life in the ultimate sense until he gets this all back. Because that was his life in the first place. See, I keep telling you eternal life hasn't got a thing to do with something that's different from this. It's the same life that goes on and on and on. And it was that life that they had when they went up for Sheol. And Jesus came and got him out of there to put him immortal in another place. That's what he's going to do for you and me. That's when death really ends. How'd you like to be here immortal with twigs and everything picking you? Now, they could have been that way. They got to the tree of life. Lived on in the state of death. Separation just now, death is not just separation from God. It's separation from the blessings and the health and the beauty of God. It's everything that is in God as per original creation and His great power. That's why when He's revealed as the Father of glory, the one that's responsible for all glory, He wants you to know tonight, you're looking down the road to where you're going to pass into immortality and eternity. Now, some of you don't feel good about yourself. Trouble is, you're still back where I was. You're looking in a three-way mirror, and your nose is too big, or your chin's too big, your eyes don't match, your ears are screwy, your hair's this way. For God's sake, smarten up! Anybody with that idea is not born again. It can't be a child of God, because you're looking at the biggest ape with flat feet and the big nose and everything else under God's high heaven, and it doesn't mean anything anymore because I'm walking in.
Amen.
See? We're not dealing in this buck-walk junk. See? Now that's why you understand I get tough at times, because time has run out for nonsense. See? This is what eternal life is, and here's where they died. They lost this. See? They stole it. Now we got to get back to life. Now listen, let's face it. This has got to be death. Because Adam lived on, and Eve lived on, and every child of God, that's the seed of God, lives on, but he's away in that place of detention. Now he's supposed to have this. See? Now, he that believes that word is going to get it, because it was not believing that word that lost it. That's why all these things we call sin are not sin at all. There's only one sin, that's unbelief, and the rest of the attributes of sin. Now, you notice in here how God interpreted His Word. He said, that's death. Oh, merciful heaven. Brother Branham said, I always used to wonder what it's about. Maybe like a little old cloud of vapor. And, you know, here's Brother Neville go by, a little cloud of vapor, and here's William Branham. I never did have that idea. Brother Branham said, he always was afraid till he got beyond the curtain of time. And then he said, I'll never be the same again. My thinking has been changed. It took a vision. You've got the word tonight to change your thinking in your mind.
Get rid of your own thinking. Get right back to the Word of God and realize this is eternal life. To know Thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. God's His own prophet. God's His own interpreter. See? What does it matter if your body goes to the grave? Tap, I'd like to get out of here. Because there's something bitter. I'm going to keep saying until one day I leave or He changes me. I know you people don't think that's right in a certain way. You think I'm nuts. But Brother Brian, he always can find everything I preach on. I can never find what I preach on. He always finds it in Brother Brian's sermons. And there he mentioned to me how Brother Branham said the very same thing. To start talking, start praising, enter in. Like I said, there's Malachi. Kid phoned me up. He said, Brother Dale, he said, I don't understand the silence in heaven, not a cherubim, not this, not that. But he said, I was born again since that time. The Bible says angels in heaven rejoice. I said, Brother, never mind what went on in heaven. It's down here that you speak the message and talk one to another and glorify His great name. Set the kid on fire to know that there was something real. He thought he missed something. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, I'm happy. If you're not happy while you sit back and grin like a hog that ate, you know, ate some of that good old mash we made, fed to the hogs, yeah. Moses was prophet and judge. The prophet is the living word of God manifested in human flesh. Why? Because God's got to have some place for His word. So He's a Logos, as it were. He would be judged on the same basis, the living word of God manifested. So what we are saying is that the prophet is a portion of the Logos, come to us through humanistic mentality, with the purpose of God set forth and revealed in Him, because it's revealed to Him. Jesus was the Logos without humanistic mentality, except that God used Mary in a chemical way. He was the Logos, the whole Logos made flesh. Other prophets were already born flesh, and the Logos came in a portion to them. Those that were born by humanist mentality, God, a little portion here, a little portion there, came to them. But this one, after he born with that humanist mentality, see, he is the Logos. Now, drawing a conclusion, we see a union, God and prophet, prophet and God, never a separation. One has to have the other. They have one word, God's word. They have to have one mind, God's mind. What I'm trying to show you here is why Jesus absolutely is that judge. See? He's got to be, first of all, prophet. See? In other words, the word has got to come to him in the basic of the precept and in the revelation of the precept. How could a prophet make a mistake? If a prophet could make a mistake, then Jesus' judge would make a mistake. He said, which of you convince me of sin. Which of you can confute me? Find one word. Can't find one word off. Has to fulfilling it. Has to manifesting it. Has to saying it. Or in any way at all, he wasn't one word off. If he'd have been one word off, he couldn't be judged. See, no way he could be judged. It would be intolerable. All right. Let's go to Acts, the third chapter. We're down to 19th verse, the middle part. When times refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things which God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets and the word began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, the prophet shall your God raise up me unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him you shall hear in all things whatever he shall say unto you. It will come to pass that every soul will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Yea, and all the prophets of Samuel and those that follow after many spoken have likewise foretold of these days. To the children of the prophets and so on. Now examine 3:22. A prophet shall Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him you'll hear in all things whatever he will say. All right. Go to Luke 24. 25 and 27. And he said, O fools of slow heart, to be all the prophets spoken. Ought not Christ to suffer these things and in his glory, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets? He expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. That was that name. No, it ain't. Acts 3, not the B part. Examine. Acts 3, 23, 24. It'll come to pass every soul. Not hear that prophecy be destroyed among the people. Even all the prophets that from Samuel, those that follow after. As many spoken have likewise foretold of these days, two sets of days. The days when he was on earth, and the days that he is to come back. Tells of it. Alright. Verse 24. These days. Verse 22. Well, I better read 24 of it. Yea, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after have spoken these days, foretold them. Verse 22. A prophet, Lord your God, raised unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Now, you notice, first day's Moses, second day Samuel. There are two places of starting. Now, I read you in Luke where he went, took them to Moses. This scripture doesn't only go to Moses, it goes to Samuel. See? The first day was the prophet like unto Moses. The second day is the prophet like unto Samuel, like unto Moses, but as prophet. Now listen, Samuel never received the word. None. Only by revelation was he judged. Not one place where Samuel got anything from, from God that Moses hadn't already given. But he came on the scene. As judge, the word giving was over. All that needed was interpretation to the people. So therefore, there was a word giver called Moses. And there was a prophet judge who was exclusively in the realm of interpretation and revelation judging the people. So therefore, after the word came the judge. Now in the Ephesian age, here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. What came the word that got up from you? Or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a proper spiritual, let him acknowledge. The things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And Paul literally brought a word in revelation. And in some places, tediously explained it. And the explanation was always to put the church in order. They'd got off limit somewhere. Misunderstanding. All right. Now, in the Laodicean age, it is Revelation 10 and 7. But in the days of the voice, the seventh church age messenger will begin to sound. The mystery of God should be perfected, finalized, concluded, polished off. As God had declared to His servants the prophet. All right, hold it there. Turn back to Acts the 3rd chapter. Now, whom the heaven must receive until they retain until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Now, there comes the finishing, the conclusion, the final touch to what every prophet said about Him. But in Jesus' day, it was only His suffering and entering into His glory. So there had to come a time in the book of Revelation when even John, the Revelator, was explained and revealed, the word revealed that John brought. You follow what I'm saying? I lost you. Right? You're all lost. Too bad. I'm not going to leave you there. I should leave you there just to smarten you up. You come and listen to the tape real good. I'm going to go over it again. All right. In the first time Jesus, when the Holy Spirit came in the form of a prophet in Jesus, the fullness. All right. There are two sets of days mentioned. The day of His flesh and the day that's coming in the future when He will come back in His flesh. But in the meantime, between a healing revival and when He comes in the flesh, the Word has got to be restored, spoken in the mouth of all the prophets. Not just them all. Now, the seven church age messenger. Every mystery of every prophet. To the finish line. Has got to be expounded. In Jesus' day, it was Moses to his birth, death, resurrection, entry into glory. This is coming back to glory on the earth. You follow me now? All right. Moses is the type of the first. Samuel is the type of the second. Because Samuel didn't bring any word. But, as Moses said, you don't dare add a word or take a word. He went to Moses. And John the Revelator said, you don't dare take a word or add a word. William Branham went to the book of Revelation. And in doing it, he went back to every prophet, starting with God. And he concluded with God as prophet. That's what we're talking about. Now, remember, this man, Samuel, was in a judge class way beyond Moses. Because he judged the nation all his life. Moses did a little bit of it. And he got 70 men to help him. This man stood there the complete generation. Years and years he judged Israel based on the revelation. And he was the prophet revealing the word. Now, the book has already been given. So in our day we have to have a man like, not Moses, but Samuel. Now listen, the same spirit that was in Moses giving the word was the same spirit in Samuel as judge who revealed the word and set the thing in order. The same thing here today. See, you can't get by. Now, that's in the Laodicean age. Now watch, Revelation 22, 10. He said, seal not the sayings of prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now it tells you the book is going to be open. Well, what? How do you open any book? Through knowing what's in the covers and understanding what's in the covers. This is Isaiah. If I could turn to it right now, I forget what chapter. It said they hand the book to the man. He said, I can't read him ignorant. So they try another person. He said, I don't understand it. At the end time, there's got to be a complete revelation of the gospel. See? So this man does it. Revelation 10 and 7. So we see comparing the Logos prophet ministry of Luke 24 and Acts 3:24. Jesus was prophet who set the course for judgment. At the end of time, he is the Logos, the prophet judge. And not only set, he now not only says, but adjudicates. See, the same one that gave it is here interpreting it. What for? He that adds the word goes to the tribulation. He that takes the word away gets his life taken away. All right, that's what it is. This is a condemnation. Lights in the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. What evil deeds? Their religious worship. Oh, God, do you understand that? Why I hate legalism? And try to preach all this time? I don't want to keep harping, but this is the reason we're here. Amen. That's why I'm off the road. You cut my throat, you don't dare. I'll tell you, God will judge you sure as I stand here. I'm preaching under inspiration tonight, and you know I am, and I know I am. Praise. These aren't my notes. Now listen. Don't just praise God and your amen me. Get this down fat. We're not kidding. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not boasting or anything. I know what I'm talking about. And I've seen some of you changing. I've looked at our women. I can see women are changing for the first time in all these years. I want to say this. I've seen women begin to change. Though I sound rough and tough and mean, I'm not. I'm sure. And I know I shouldn't try to get emphasis by screaming and all, but God help me. I'm just so stupid. I don't know anything better. But don't think I'm not pleased. Don't worry. I'm pleased, mighty pleased. You know, he said, why don't you frown? He said, that's my business. I'll smile when I'm ready. The book written about Jesus said he cried a lot, never known to laugh or crack a smile. Well, I'm not trying to be Jesus. You can sure see that. I don't want to be the devil either. All right, listen. The great prophet judge, and that's exactly as he should be. Over here in Genesis, the 18th chapter, Abraham saw that great one, failed in a man which is a prophet, come right down there. And then he said, will I not show this man what I'm going to do? And he said, I'll tell you, I'm going to show him, because he'll apply the token to his family. Yeah, he said, oh, he'll bring these kids up, right? How are you going to bring those kids up right outside of a word that's revealed? And then he said, I'm going to show Abraham what I'm going to do. And he stood right there, and Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the question comes up in the hour that he's judged. How is he going to treat the righteous? 100% they'll never come into the judgment. We're laying the foundation for Sunday, see? I haven't got my notes in order. We'll see what happens. Got to wait the same as you do, see what happens. We're looking at it, see, brother, sister? So now we can see how the prophet becomes judge. He's the only one that can be judge. Because the word and the revelation can come to him alone. And when a man stands as a judge in our courts, he's the supreme symbol of the sovereignty of that nation. What have we got? Rot, filth, muck, prostitutism. Prostitution, everything else under God's high heaven in our court. You can, as the fellow said, you can rent anything today but a politician and a judge. I'll add that. You got to buy them. Filthy, rotten. That's why the judges don't look down and condemn sin anymore, because they know their kids are into it. They judge righteous judgment. Where is it? Hey, what is not in man to ever do right? So God just applies the blood and perfects by the blood. All right. Only a prophet can be a judge. That's why even Deborah in politics, she had to be a prophetess. She no more knew that word than nothing. She'd have to stand there before God. See, the word couldn't come to her as a man come to a man. So God would give her understanding exactly what she would say. Woman never was called to preach, but she can testify. All right, question number 3 that arose was, at what time is he judged? It is unequivocally the day of the Lord. All right, that's Malachi 4, 1 to 6. Ain't mad at nobody, just yell, because feel good to yell. All I know to do is yell. I'm not beautiful, sensitive, or anything else, but I should believe the word of God. For behold, the day cometh shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, ye all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. How you going to know who those are doing wickedly? It says the proud are going to go down to Satan's hell by reason of pride. Right? They that do wickedly are Cain. Religious prostitution. The word of God comes and they go by their own interpretation. Doesn't do them one bit of good. Shall be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them up, shall the Lord host even root in a branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise, healing his wings. You'll go forth and grub his calves to stall. Now listen, you shall tread down the wicked. That's judgment. That's it. It is the pronouncement of a verdict and the accomplishment. The verdict is said here, while these are being judged as chaff, you're going to be judged with the Son of Righteousness coming down upon you, healing you into immortality, and you're going to come back, and you're going to tread them down, saith the Lord of hosts. Now behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, he'll turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite you of the curse. In other words, it's ordained that the curse come. Behold, the earth shall burn as an oven. But that foreordained word, asked to Abraham before the fire fell, and given to Abraham, is given to you and me, and said, look out there, that's what's going to happen. But you're going to miss it. Oh, and only God can say that. And he said, there's got to be a prophet. Now, that prophet, by his words, sets the course of the righteous judgments of God in this earth, and all the judgments of God in this earth. The pronunciation on one side is you're going to be immortal. The pronunciation on the side is death. Because that's what's going to happen. Now listen. That day is Malachi 4, 1 to 6. We're in Malachi 4, 2 to 3. That is, you're going to be okay. You're going to tread down the wicked. That is absolutely over here in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. We all know Brother Branham preached it. You that are alive and remain, it says, you're living here. That are alive and remain under the presence of the Lord shall not take a precedence and a preeminence over them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's what it tells you here. Malachi, the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings, is to come down with a shout and a voice and a trumpet to the waiting supper. Then we'll come back and tread down the wicked. Now that's what it says. Prophet preceding judgment. And there can't be a judgment unless there's a prophet. And the same Spirit that brings the word, his God's Spirit, comes down by the Spirit of a prophet. Now, I didn't say it came down by the Spirit of prophets, so the prophet's Spirit up there. I said the prophet has got a spirit. This, and his even structured figure of his body is uniquely formed to receive that word. God coming down by the proper Spirit. God's own Spirit coming down. Bringing that man to bring forth the word, and that man categorically, because of that Spirit in him, is both prophet and judge. Though the reality is, it's the one in him, God, Logos, the word, is the prophet and the judge. Because you can't have a prophet without a judge. You can't have a judge without a prophet. It's axiomatic. You can't have a law without a penalty. Or some fruit or some merit. No way. Why? Because it's in the seed. That goes to Revelation 19:11, where we come back with him seated upon white horses. It's the very same thing as over in Luke, the 17th chapter. Now, here's the prophet standing there, demanded. If you're a prophet, tell us when the kingdom of God is going to come. He said, it's coming, you won't even see it. That's how it comes. Oh, brother. Neither say here, lo, there, lo, because the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Then he turned to his disciples. Now here's Aries, listen. You talk about those nice, learned, beautiful, polished, and sweet old boys coming in and saying, well, you seem to know an awful lot, great sir. People call you a prophet. He said, when is the kingdom of God going to come? He said, well, I just tell you, flat boy. It'll come, but you won't even see it because it doesn't come the way you see things. You talk about looking for a fight. He was out there sparring. Yeah. See, he said, disciples, you'll want to see one of the days of the Son of Man. That was the kingdom right there. See, passing from prophet to king in between is a judge. Now let's face it. The same qualities that lie in that judge is the same thing that's king. Right, because the king is judge. Solomon was the wisest king and the mightiest judge Israel ever had when it came to a king. See? Then there was the one in between him and Saul. That was David. And he was a prophet king. Prophet judge. Absolutely. Remember, Solomon judged by the wisdom of God. Now he said, you're not going to see it. And now he told them the same thing. He said to these people, you won't see it. So don't go looking for it. In other words, if it's under your nose, you don't see it there. Forget it. Well, look at, if there was a kangaroo in the midst of us and you couldn't see the kangaroo, you'd have to be awful blind or the kangaroo awful small. Or you're nuts. In other words, you haven't got any eye see anything anyway. Well, sick is sick. This isn't sick. This is Revelation. And he says it's coming by the light. It's the light that was brought. What brings light? A prophet brings light. See? But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And this is a condemnation. Men turn down light. They turn down a prophet and the prophet becomes a judge. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And I said he's got to suffer first. But it's going to be in the days of Noah. Eating and drinking, building and so on. At that time, the Son of Man will be revealed again. He'll do the same things. He'll be there. And they'll walk off and say it ain't so. Fellow wrote me a letter. Oh, I don't know. I don't know why he's taken all these years. I think it kind of had to come to maybe. I guess I shouldn't say that. A lot of people got to be slow, I guess. We're fast in the trigger around here. Shouldn't be, maybe. He began to really put his church in order the first time. He had a lady in his church for 13 years, I guess. Of course, they haven't believed his message all this time, but she said she believed, and he thought she did. And when he put the church in order, she really cussed him up one side and down the other. Stopped out of the church. But he said, I'm used to those things. So I wrote him and I said, well, brother, just wait till the gates of hell start clanging on this revelation. Church order is nothing compared to this. But I'm going to tell you something. It'll be much more subtle, too. You watch the charismatics go into action now, the charisma among us. Watch the Pentecostal pussycat. Because that's what it is. You watch. They don't want it. Why, he said right here, the Son of Man is going to be revealed. That's the apocalypse. See? Now that's not the rapture. They got an idea that's the rapture. But he said it's in the midst. Thy kingdom come on earth. See? Now listen. That kingdom of heaven is nothing but an elevation, which means an authoritative position, a higher place. People get all mixed up on these things. In other words, listen, the day's coming when you're going to be transported into a higher realm, another dimension. See? People can't take it. They want the old dimension. So they don't see the Son of Man revealed. He stands in our midst and they say, huh, that ain't so. He's revealed. He's present. He's revealed. The prophet, the judge is here. Because he's the same person. He can have 1,000 titles. Like you can belong, you can go down here and buy yourself a great big warehouse and you can import 5,000 masks. In costumes and wear everyone one at a time. You're the same stinking rotten person. Fact. That got to do with it. God can take 1,000,000 masks. He's the same wonderful, glorious, almighty person.
Amen.
Let's look at the thing right. This is Matthew 3:10-12. Let's look at it. Notice how the scripture spans 2,000 years the same as it does in the book of Isaiah many times. Here's what it says here. John the Baptist says, think not to say within yourselves, we've got Abraham our father. God's able to make these stones children of Abraham. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree that doesn't bring forth good fruit, hewn down and cast the fire off the word. I indeed baptize you with water and repentance. But there comes one after you, mightier than I, whose shoes are not worthy to bear, baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now listen, whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purge his floor. Gather the wheat in the garner. Burn up the javelin and quench the fire. Now listen. This mighty baptizer with the Holy Ghost. And he couldn't do till after he died and rose again. John said, behold the Lamb of God. When he saw him standing there. See? This is that one. Now, but he says right here to these people coming to him. Generation of vipers. He said, what have you got to do with that preaching about? He said, you're no more going to get the Holy Ghost than nothing. He's going to be right here and die for you. Won't do you no more good than nothing. It's just being your condemnation. Now he says here, whose fan is in his hands, this one that's going to baptize. The fan is in his hand and purge his floor. That's not until this hour. Because the chaff gets burned up. The baptism with the Holy Ghost runs out. And when it does, judgment sets in. He's no longer the baptized with the Holy Ghost. You bet he's not. He's judged. See? Just waiting to lower the boom, so to speak. All right. Burn up the chaff. Now, that's the same as Malachi we're talking about. Behold, the day cometh that'll burn like an oven. All the proud. Like these birds so proud. He said, you generation of vipers, you Sadducees, you Pharisees, phooey. He said, I'll just tell you something. You come here with your analytical mind. And so I can tell you something to make those minds function a different way. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing I told you that makes me believe that I've got any evidence from you that your minds have been changed. What did John the Baptist do? He changed people's minds. That's repentance. This age needs a change of mind. Because the last seen part is the eye, which is the seer, and above it's the mind. It doesn't move. It sits there. Now the judge just sits there and watches that word because the word's been given. When the prophet left the scene, let me tell you flat, brother, sister, the spirit went from prophet to judge, just waiting in between. It can't swing back to prophet. It's got to swing to judge. That's why it's time short. See, Noah's right. Noah was here as a prophet to the flood. Our Elijah left us. I'm talking about the man. Spirit didn't. So standing right here watching, the judgments of God are in the land right now. See? Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, second chapter 15 to 19, I guess what I want here. Study to show thyself ruin of God. Where need not be ashamed by dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling, they'll increase unto more ungodliness. You see, why on more ungodliness? Because after Cain argued with his brother, he killed him. See? Their word will eat itself a canker. In other words, you take off one word, you'll take another and take another, take another till it's messed up. You add a word, you'll add. You don't have to worry about doctrine. Just give your time, just give yourself time to watch. Don't jump at everything. Just stand back and watch it for a year or two. Let's see if what I'm teaching you is the truth after about a year or two. You'll find out I'm teaching you the truth. Those that jump for the truth, soul stuff, they got polygamy now. Oh, wonderful. They got whorehouses now. That's what amounts to. Who needs that junk? Their word to deed is of the canker. Burning. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? Names are names. Who concerning the truth of urge, saying the resurrection is already past, overthrowing the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure in this view. The Lord knoweth them which are his. That everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's lawlessness. Get back to the word. Naming the name of Christ. What I'm trying to bring out here is the foundation of God stands sure. At what time? This time. When the prophets come pronouncing the word of Almighty God. And men have got to make a decision. Because God's decision is already made. And the word is laid out in front of them. Now where are you going to go? He that believeth my word is everlasting life. You'll never come into a judgment. He that doesn't believe the judgment hits you, you'll never miss the judgment. Why? Because you turn the prophet down. Why? Because God's in the prophet. The man. Ha! Remember I preached and I said, never going to understand. Just a few weeks before I left Quincy, I couldn't understand about Brother Brown saying, he's just a man. I preached on, never get my tapes. If you're dull of hearing, get the tapes. Brother Evans has got them. But now the big sneer, the man. Well, what are you? You see, I get upset with this nonsense going around here. Listen, get with it or get out. Well, stick around. I'll know who cut my throat. I'm not naming any names here. I'm just saying, it'll manifest. It'll manifest. Look, we're not kidding anybody anymore. See? Brother Man said, shake the gloves off. So he took the gloves off. He said, somebody's got to tell him. Not that I got to be that one. But he had trance and a vision when he told me. So, okay. You're being told that's good. It's good for you. You never need to leave it. Get your eyes open and understand. See? We're in that hour. Now, I want to show you something here. My sheep hear my voice, they follow me. Now, only God knows who the elect are. See? They're the ones that hear and follow, and they will never come into a judgment. Then the prophet word brings judgment. Now, judgment isn't just a matter of condemnation. It can be a matter of merit or placing. See? Where is it? See what I'm finding for you. It is common report there's fornication among you, such fornication not among the Gentiles. Once you have his father's wife. You're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that done this deed might be taken among you, but verily, I verily absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present to be the judge. The one that's present. As he came to Abraham with a revelation. Was the same one that went down as judge. And the fire fell. Wasn't two of them. And the one that brought the word, which is God, is judged. But it's not manifested. It's in a transition period. From prophet to kingship. It's transition. But there couldn't be any judge unless there had been a prophet. How in the world can you tell anybody here a book is all sealed up? It's not open! And then say, hey, if you add a word or take a word, you're gone. Well, they say, well, that's the idea. See, Brother Bale, it's all sealed up. You can't add a word or take a word. That's only part of the truth. There's seven thunders that nobody has them numbered. What about those? So if you guess, you can add or take away. Now where do you stand? You got to be someplace where under no condition can you add or take. That means the book got to be opened, which it was in 22 and verse 20 of chapter 22 of Revelation, and the 10th verse. The book is open, and there's only one person to open that book. That's God Himself. That's the Lamb that took it and sealed it as a prophet. He's got to open it as a prophet. Now I said, I'm like Moses in the first day. The next day I'm like Samuel. There's no word to be given. That's why the prophet said, oh, these men came and said, Brother Branham, you'd be the one to write a Bible. You'd be the one to put those in there. You'd be said, ha ha ha, hold it, hold it. What is that sermon? He preached a big long sermon anyway. I know one guy, one Pentecostal Jesus only, whatever it is. when I made public in the little book that there was only seven seals and was already in the book, and oh, he was yapping up my spine and down the other, and I could take a 4x4 and knock his cotton picking head off. And I can still do just about. I'm not as mad as I sound. Don't worry about it. I'm just letting you know that I'm tired of all this hogwash. I've had it all these years, just sick of it. And so when Brother Branham preached it, he didn't think Brother Branham talked to me privately. Well, who do you think talked to me about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I talked to my shadow. I'm not a liar. Look, other guys out there can be liars. I'm not a liar. At least I'm not much of a liar. My hand in the cookie jar, sure. Same as you. But deliberate lies, forget it. I believe I'm born again. No way. Judge. All right. In the day of the Lord, he's judge. Which is also the time of the resurrection. Let's go back to John 5. 24 to 30. Truly, I say, he hears my word and brings him to heaven, have everlasting life, and shall come the condemnation pass into the light. Now listen. He said that, didn't he? Now watch. Just hold your finger there. Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ got him in to show his servant things that shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified his angel and his servant John, who bear record of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. That was said afterward, and the prophecy is the day of the Lord. So, how are you going to hear his words? You better have a prophet. Now, I'm not kidding you. It's past that life. Surely truth, the hour is coming now, is the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and the hear shall live. Hearing and resurrection. And when they heard him back there, is the prophet. There was a resurrection. And when they hear him here, the Lord just ever the shout, there'll be a resurrection. And he's judge. Yep. You follow what I'm trying to tell you? He's here. And he's here as judge. Oh, one of these days is going to get real serious and real sweet. Don't worry. I'm banking on it. Don't you ever kid yourself. I get my bad days. That's a grouchy Sunday. I thought the Spirit of God left me, but he ain't. He ain't. No way. I knew I'd get up here and be all right. Because that's what it's all about. For the Father has life in himself. So he gave the Son to have life in himself. Do you think the Son's ever going to die again? He couldn't die in the first place. His body just went to the grave. He went down toward the gates of hell and came right back in his body. Whoop, he's gone. He had a little few minutes siesta. The body didn't even corrupt. You talk about life. You say, well, Brother Dale, that Jesus, he had this kind of life, and he went here and he had that kind of life. You've got to be ridiculous. You're not hearing what I'm saying. You already had it. I've got it. You've got it. If you're born again, the blood's been applied, and you're full of the Holy Ghost, you've got it. See? How can you be hurt? Baptized Holy Ghost, stand in his hand, 30 preachers before. Gather wheat in the garner. What's the wheat? Baptized Holy Ghost. Going to gather every single one in the garner. Right in his great big old granary. Right in his big old sheepfold. Right in his father's house of many mansions. And we get taken to the bridal chamber and to the big marriage supper. Yeah. That's it. I'll keep reading. And are given authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. When he shows he's Son of Man, he's already got the authority to judge. Now when you got the authority to judge, you judge. That doesn't mean you got to do it right now. A boy or girl can be a father or mother, even as a tiny baby. It's all there waiting for the day. Better be the right day. Everybody gets previous. Marvel not, this hour is coming in which all during the graves are going to hear his voice. I tell you, that's way down the road, 1,000 years past now. Okay? On what grounds? He was a prophet. Judge me because he is the Son of Man. If he hadn't been the Son of Man, he could never be the judge. Well, you say, could he have been lamb and not be judged? Sure, if God wanted that, well, he could have been lamb and not judge. But the minute he's prophet, he's judge. You know what I'm saying? Why is a man a judge? Because he studies the law. You get some idiot that doesn't know the law, he mess up every single time. I've talked to lawyers that didn't know the law. I knew right away they wouldn't be any help. I know judges that don't know the law. And when they do know the law, they wink and go on. They put their own line. You know, the Supreme Court even said if a man defending himself against arrest, kill the priest, and that man is not liable for murder. But you try and make a judge believe that. So any rotten, stinking cop can do what he wants. Bully you, mess up, even rape you, if that's what he wants. And you got to stand back and take it. They don't care two bits about the law. Let me tell you, God cares about his word, brother, sister. And don't think he cares that much about the world. He's just going to pick up like that. But you and I, he cares for. That's a different thing entirely. Righteous judge with righteous judgment. Bet you sweet land. They shall come forth in resurrection, done good, the resurrection life, they've done evil, the resurrection condemnation. I cannot myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Exactly. And a prophet hears, so he's the judge. The judge is in the land. Yep. This is Revelation 11. These are just examples, don't worry. But they're in the Bible, so they're good examples. Okay. 15 to 19 to 7, he was sounding. There's a great voice in heaven saying, kings of this world have become the kings of our God. And our Lord in the face of Christ, he used to reign forever and ever. For unto you on the outset, before God, on their seats, fell on their faces, we worship God, saying, we give thanks, Lord of the Almighty, which art was and art to come, because the taken to thee thy great power and his reign. And the nations are angry, thy wrath is coming, the time of the day that they should be judged. Yep. Give rewards, that's judging too. Never fear thy name, small and great, and destroy them, destroy the earth. The temple of God is open in heaven. See in the temple of the Ark of the Testament. Lightnings, earthquake, great hail. That's what the word said, that's what we're going to get. Revelation 11, 15 and 19. Okay? Revelation 15, 1 to 8. There's the judge there, see? I saw on the sign of heaven great marvels, seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them were filled the wrath of God. I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them had gotten victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and the number of his name, and stand in the sea of glass, having harps to God. And they sang a song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Yep. And I looked and beheld, the temple of the tabernacle testimony in heaven was open, and seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. At the time we're at the wedding supper, notice the judge is judging the earth. The fourth beast gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God, that lived forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke of the glory of God, and from his power, and no man was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues the seven angels were finished. See? Have God to send up seven plagues. No more people coming in, brother, sister. Oh, it's just judgment. Nobody coming in. 144,000 last one see with all over. And judgment hits here. What is he? We've crowned him king, but he's judge. You see, this is why God told me that time. He said he didn't come to earth just to redeem. He went down and brought those people out. Now, he's not here just as prophet. He's here judge. I tell you something. I think I love him far more as judge and prophet.
Amen.
Because what he says, brother, sister, about what he said concerning me is what I'm interested in. And every time I get off the hook, I go, boy, I'm so happy.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. In verse 4, for thy judgments are made manifest. They were made manifest to us by the word that was proven that he was that prophet. Then it says, you believe him, you fear him. There's nobody put fear in the heart of anybody more than a priest and a judge. Now, when we close in making some comments, another 85 minutes we close. Based on Matthew 24, 32, and 33, I don't know when I'm going to close. I can say this in my notes and start talking, flipping the pages back and forth as I just feel like talking. Don't tell me I feel like anything as I'm preaching. I feel worse than ever because ain't nothing there. All right. 24, 32, 33, now learn the pair of the fig tree branches yet tend to put forth leaves, you know, summer's nigh. So likewise, ye, when you see all these things, know that it is near even unto the doors. This is not just Israel. All the signals are in. One sign is Malachi 4, 1 to 2. You say, what's our sign? The prophet. Unto you that fear my name. There you are. And the same 5 and 6. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I'm going to send Elijah. And he'll turn the hearts of the people. And that's Acts 3 and 21. Restoration. And restoration can only come by Elijah. So, the signs are in. Israel's in the homeland. The prophet appeared on the scene. Yep. Which is Joel 2 and 23. Let's go back to Joel. Daniel, holy, holy, and Joel. Let's see now. 2 and 23. Be glad, children of Zion, rejoice. And the Lord your God, he gave you the former rain mightily. Caused to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter. Not in the first, as in the first. And the floors be full of wheat. Gather wheat in the garner. See? Alright. That goes to James 5, 7 and 8. Now watch this. Listen carefully. Be patient, therefore, brethren, in the presence of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, as fat as in his hand. He's got long patience with until he received the early and the latter rain. Be ye patient, brethren, establish your hearts, for the presence of the Lord draws nigh. Now that's you and me. Now, that's the former teaching becomes the latter teaching. It's the same teaching. God's got one word. Now, that's the husband waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, which is the resurrection, the first resurrection, because we're a first fruit, right? All right. Now watch in verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. The same one that's a prophet is the judge. Behold, I sat at the door and knocked. What for? He's trying to get in to help us. The messenger from God, messenger of the covenant, God himself in its form of a spirit, came down through a prophet, veils himself in words, stands in the midst. The kingdom's here. The prophet is here, the judge is here, the king is here. Now he's in transition. Former and latter reign, equal judge, equal king. Or transition. See, they're resolving themselves into each other. The ultimate is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he's working with the people. So therefore, prophet. That prophet died. Sent forth the Holy Ghost. That runs out. Fan is in his hand. 30 purges forth. Gather wheat in the garner. Former land of rain. Restoration of all things. Can't be giving the word again. As though it were a matter of giving the word for the first time. No way. It's the same word. Brought back. The same word restored. How? All the loose ends come together. Revealer standing there. Revealer now becomes judge. See? All right. First time the judge is at the door. Prophet judge. That takes us right back to Acts 3. Sorry. Acts 17. And verse 31. Because he appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. He appointed a day in which the inhabited world will be judged. That's the hour he turns exclusively from prophet to judge. In the meantime, the seeds of the judge are forming more and more. As soon as the last one's in the child train, it's all over. He's exclusively judge. Separation. Gets the dead out of the ground from those who can't come up. Gets us out from those who can't be changed. It's all over. How? By word. What word? Judge. The foundation of God stands sure. The Lord knows them which are his. Fan is in his hand. You can't tell weak from tear. You can't tell false anointed from the real thing unless it's just by word. But people don't want the word. I see it everywhere. Just as sure as he appears and proves that he is the one in Acts 3 to restore the word, he is also the judge who sentences to death because they won't listen. They that don't hear die. That's what it says in Malachi. That's what it says in Acts. That's what it says in Deuteronomy. They didn't die when Jesus was here. Raised up as Moses, a prophet like unto him. But you watch under Samuel. Same spirit. You watch under that discernment. Not a heart could hide. What was that judging word? The Lord knew who was his. He knows who is his. We have the witness in ourselves. Listen, that's Hebrews 6. That's going to be the whole Bible pretty soon, right? No, you're preaching it, you get the whole Bible. Forget it. Leaving the principal doctrines of Christ, gone to perfection. Not laying in the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. That's run out. Won't do you any good. That doesn't get you there. Oh, it does you good because, you know, you go through it. Of doctrine of baptism laying on a hand. Of resurrection of dead. Of eternal judgment. What do you mean? You have to worry about resurrection. You're not going to die. You don't have to worry about judgment. You're not going to be in it. So what? Go to perfection. How? It's impossible for those who are once enlightened. The once for all enlightenment. No more revelation. The book is open. You can't add. You can't take. And it's got to be just before the great tribulation. Because how can you go in the great tribulation if it doesn't happen just before the great tribulation? God had to bring him out of the ground, throw him in the great tribulation. He's not going to bring him out of the ground, throw him in the great tribulation, because throw him in the lake of fire. There's no fruitcake here tonight. There's nobody mixed up in chronology. We know what we're talking about. At least I do. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. We all know what we're talking about. It tells you right here, once for all enlightenment. Once for all enlightenment brings what? They taste the heavenly gift. They partake of the Holy Ghost, false and mighty. They taste the good word of God. They see the power of the world to come, and they fall away. From what? Enlightenment. They say, look, come on, come. Look what we're doing is, oh, look, come on now. We understand this word perfectly. It's in the word, isn't it?
You say, but yeah, this is the word too. Well, let's just love each other.
That's what the serpent said to Eve. Love isn't exactly sexist, maybe part of it, but if they shall fall away, not if they shall fall, having fallen away, they'll never be renewed in their minds. They can never change their minds again. As Brother Brown said, they put the ear to the wall, and the awl goes through it, showing you in the ear of Jubilee, you chose to be a prisoner, and this is Jubilee. No, they want to go back. Oh, because it's only a man. Well, I thank God is a man.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, how are you going to get to one you can't approach unto? Something's wrong somewhere, sure enough, here. Around here, as far as I can see. Now listen, seeing they crucified in themselves the Son of God afresh, put him to an open shame. Spit on him. Pluck his beard. Make him naked. Let him stand there and say, well, who needed you? People still say, who needs Elijah? I got Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, you better have Elijah or I'm going to come and get you. Oh, Lord, we are now, now, now. We're too nice. I said I was too nice. I'm going to tell you something. I've got a way with it being a elect child of God. And then he turned right around. So I know what I'm talking about now. I'm just as righteous as he is and there's no guilt. But I'm going to tell you, it's only one reason. Because I was in the election and ignorant. But you pull it now. You watch it happen. We've got no more place for self-righteousness today, brother, and legalism. And eternal security is just as rotten. They're both the same thing, a spirit of hell. Let me ever kid you. You got both sides. They crucify flesh. And he tells you, earth was drinking in the rain that comes off upon it. He's going to bring forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed. He's telling you right there, that word is going to bring forth the children of God out of this earth. He's the vine dresser. He's the one that's doing it. He said, I'm the vine. You're just branches. You're my father's husband. He's going to bring them forth. You bet your sweet land. He's going to be fit for God. Receives a blessing of God. But thorns are going to be burned. Chaff. For at least 17 years, we've been listening to the prophet and the shout. And the voice will soon raise the dead. And you watch the judgment set in. Yep. The judgments of God are in the land. But you know what? We just remember this one thing more than any other thing. Abraham turned to that great God, and he wasn't at all abashed. He never had any feelings of of inferiority or any feelings of superiority. He talked face to face in a conversational tone because he knew that God was there for him. And he said, now, Lord, he said, I know you're here. And I know absolutely that you're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You said so. But he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord stood there and he said, what I'm saying, trying to say is this. Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Fire be from you. He said, I never have and I never will destroy the righteous with the wicked. I'm here to see that the righteous get away before the fire falls. There's no way you're going to get around it, brother, sister. That prophet right today is just missed a hair from being a judge on the world, because they turned him down. They crucified him. Remember when they crucified him? He said, look at them. What people weep, wept. He said, don't weep for you. Weep for yourselves. I'm going to tell you what. This world has crucified him to themselves afresh. And there are those that are good, kindly intended people. They love to be nice and be good and everything else. And I appreciate that. And they may feel very sore that sorrowful this has happened. I'm going to tell you, put your sorrow where it belongs. On those where judgment falls. Jesus said, don't weep for me. They can't do a thing to him. If Satan or anybody could move one hair of his attention, we'd be gone, brother, sister. In him is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. God looked down when he said, I'm not a man that I should change my mind.
Hallelujah.
No way. And the foundation of God stands sure. He has always known, foreknown, and does know those that are his. You bet there won't be one righteous perish with the wicked. The judge said so, because that's the word of the land. Aren't you glad you had a word tonight from a vindicated prophet? You could have had a word from your church. You could have had a word from your mother-in-law. How lucky you would have been. Or from your father-in-law. It doesn't really matter. Both Ma and Pa got big mouths these days. And the kids are 10 times worse. But we got a word from the Lord. Vindicated word. A word that was proven could not fail. Yep. And we're looking at that tonight. That he has been prophet all along. But I tell you, from what I believe he told me, and he told me so flat, he said, just don't think for 1 minute, you know, that all he was that lamb. See? And I began realizing he was a prophet. He was a mighty conqueror. He was a captain that led him up there. And he's everything the same today, and he's doing it all over again for the Gentiles. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to know we can go in this book and see a repeat performance and know it has to be that same one. Sure. To know that he's turned back to the Holy Ghost exactly. Brother, as students and scholars and theologians have said, but as a prophet said, that one was incarnated. That Elohim, that one was down here is Melchizedek, that great one that came down. He form of an angel, form of a cloud, form of a pillar of fire, speaking in a whirlwind, small voice, rending rocks. Why, the same one rent the rocks for the prophet. The same one showed the fire in Tucson. The same one was out there and brought the word back. Your adulteries and your divorces and your messed up marriages all over. And that's what this was all about. He said, I've espoused you to one husband. But he said, you got another husband. You got another Jesus. You got another spirit. You got another word. You're all messed up. Everything's messed up. And now he came back and said, everything is clear, honey. Your bride. You're your bride once more. And at the same time, as Moses was up in the mount, there was a pillar of fire going up and down, and there was a black cloud going up and down. But Brother Branham never once mentioned the black cloud, did he? No. He didn't tell anybody about the black cloud. The people who saw it know the black cloud was there. And he wouldn't tell it. Because then they said, who do you think you are? No, it was bad enough when you said you're Elijah. But now you're thinking you're Moses too. Who are you? The two witnesses rolled in one, Moses and Elijah? No. It says, remember Horeb. My servant Moses, a pillar of fire and a black cloud going up and down, cursing and blessing. God's elect and the non-elect. And the word came back from the pillar of fire where the blessing was. Don't ever do it again. Don't get back to your organization, denomination. Don't go back to your vomit. I say, if you're seed, I'm going to tell you what. You go try and go back and see what happened to you. Don't ask your wife or your kids for me to preach the funeral sermon. I just leave where you are. That's all. I'm being a little serious, but I want you to get some here. He won't just cut you down. But it could be you'd be more than cut down. We are not of those that go back, the Bible said, to perdition. We are not of those who go back. And there's no turning back for the bride. Some might think they're bride and fool around. But Brother Branham said, the course has been set, the stabilizers have been put in position, cresting every storm going right down to the portals and the gateways of heaven. That's what's been spoken, brother, sister. Righteous prophet, righteous judge. His judgments are in the land. That's right. They're in all the earth. That's right. Heavenly Father, we look to you again. In thanksgiving and in love because of your grace, mercy, and kindness to us tonight. Allowing us to come together for a word, Lord, to see how close we are to the judgments in this land that a bride will soon be taken out of here. Oh, God, how wonderful. That would necessitate a judgment everywhere. As the blood cleansed the heavens, now the judging will also do something tremendous. Because there'll be those who will be able to come back and pick up glorified bodies, and those who won't, they'll have to wait for the second resurrection. Right across the board, Lord, we believe all mysteries and all pertaining to the gospel is running out from the great Roman candle, starting with God in a prophet. God, his own prophet. God the prophet down here. Dealing in a man that you chose. That you formed in a certain way, made in a certain way for this hour. And we're grateful, Lord, that how can we express our gratitude just to know that you allowed us to see and to know? It's
there again puts us with the children of the prophet. Puts us the same seed. And it humbles us and at the same time exalts us, Lord, and puts all the glory on you because, Lord, you know my own particular case and testimony. No interest, nothing. Just out there back in the old swine husks. Sheep trying to act like a pig. And it wasn't working, but Lord, the day I saw your prophet, somehow there had to be something behind the eyes that looked deeper than the casual. And it never was the same again, Lord. It'll never be the same, but it's got to be going from glory to glory. As by the Spirit found in the Word of God. Yes, sir, we thank you for that, Lord, until the very day star rise, dawn in our hearts. That same thrilling Word that was in the prophets now coming to life within a bride. We thank you for it, Lord. Oh, God, we just pray for that day to come when the sweet Spirit moves amongst us, healing everybody, which will signify the resurrection at hand. Praise God. Oh, what a wonderful day, Lord, is around the corner. What a wonderful day is now. And we thank you, Lord, that we just enter our voices with the prophetic thoughts in the book of Revelation. We give thee praise, O God, who has taken unto thee thy great honor, thy great power. And now we look at you and see you in virtue of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we just say, well, sure the enemy comes in like a flood, but our God is his own standard. He's here. He will protect us. He will see us through. Descend with a shout, with a voice, with a trumpet. No miss, no way. How we praise thee. I pray, Lord, for journeying mercies, for blessing, and all the things that we feel are requisite, and you promised in a measure these things to us. And they're good for us. We appreciate these things, Lord, but just thank you for bringing us to a place where nothing is to be appreciated and heartfelt as this word is. We're glad that if we're not all the way there, that you've given us a part of it. And we're very, very thankful for it. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's sing Jesus is Here, because that's what it's all about. Okay, Lord, start it up.